Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Samach Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material access by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begin 11 lines from the bottom of Daf Samach Ches. Before we begin the actual shiur, let us glance at the side in our margin where we have a Nosei / Mivneh heading. We indicate Ad Omid Beis. Technically speaking, the discussion will continue till Samach Tesomet Aleph, but what we want to emphasize is the presence of these bow tie shapes. They will appear not only till the bottom of our Omid, but you'll notice on Omid Beis, the upper, say, quarter or third of the page, Rabbi Yochanan is also marked thusly. We have written under our heading, Shitais Amoroyim, various Amoraic opinions, Be'inyin Mosai Chayev Haganev, at what point do we speak about the obligation upon a thief, Shemochar, that stole and sold, Mochar is he sold the stolen item, Bedalet Vehe, for stealing and then selling a sheep or an ox, as we saw extensively in our previous year. We also made reference to the Pasuk that features this particular obligation. At what point does the ganav have to pay the 4-5? Lifnei o liachrei shins yashu abaylim. Is it before the original owner gave up hope on seeing his animal returned, or after the owner gave up hope? Yesh lehoir, we have to point out that the Rav, Kvar Nokar Emdo B'Shei Lezu, Rav already took a position on this particular question. V'Sovar and Rav was of the opinion, the Chiyuvei, the obligation, the penalty upon the thief, Rak Lifnei Yeush, only if it's prior to the original owner giving up hope. Just to review Rav's opinion, even though Rav is not going to appear in today's Gemara by name, but it's all basically part of the same topic. Rav had said that a thief who stole and sold the item before the original owner gave up hope, under those circumstances, do we speak in terms of the 4-5 payment for the sale? Had the original owner given up hope before the thief sold it, then, as far as Rav is concerned, it becomes the thief's item. And there is no penalty for selling your own things. So in order for there to be a penalty for the sale, Rav holds that the Torah is speaking about a case, a situation, before Yeush. As far as Rav is concerned, Yeush alone is a means of acquisition, whereby the thief would be said to be the legitimate owner of it. As we emphasize and we repeat ourselves time and time again, it doesn't mean that the thief doesn't have to compensate or offer restitution. Of course he does. But when we speak about acquisition, we mean that the thief is able to offer a cash payment for the value of the item that he stole, instead of having to return the item itself. As we go through the Gemara, we're going to see quite a few names. And amongst the names, we will see Rav Nachman and Rabbi Yochanan appears on Omid Beis. They will tell you that the payment of 4-5 exists whether it's before the original owner gave up hope or even after the original owner gave up hope. Why after the original owner gave up hope is there an obligation of 4-5? Well, one simple approach is that Yeush doesn't acquire it, and you wouldn't be able to say that the thief was selling his own item. Rav Sheshes and Reb Elozer in our Gemara will take the position Dafka li'achar yeush. That so far these opinions are unlike Rav. Rav limited the 4-5 to a case of before yeush. Rav Sheshes and Reb Elozer say the 4-5 is only after yeush. What is their basis? What is Rav Sheshes' reasoning, etc.? So we'll have to wait for the Gemara in order to see that. Rav, as we indicated before, is the chiyuv of 4-5 is only if the original owner had not given up. It's lifnei yeush. It appears to me that when we get to Omid Beis, you will see that Reish Lakish assumes that position as well. We haven't marked his name with a bow tie, just like we haven't marked Rav's name with a bow tie, in because he's not going to appear in the sukkah. Reish Lakish, though he appears in the sukkah, we're going to just rely on our note right now to make that clear. The Gemara itself will bring out the point explicitly. Now we turn to the Gemara. As we mentioned before, 11 lines from the bottom. Itmar hamoicher lifnei yeush. A thief sells an item before the original owner gave up hope. Before the original owner resigned himself to the loss. Rav Nachman Omar Chayev, the ganav is obligated to pay the 4-5. That's considered the mochar in the posuk of tavahu mochar. And Rav Sheshes Omar Potter, the thief, being that the sale took place before the owner gave up hope, the thief does not have to pay the additional 4-5 payment. Rav Nachman Omar Chayev Umechoroi Omar Achmona. The Torah says, and the thief then sold it. Veha zovin, and the thief sold it. He did a sale. Lo shno lifnei yeush, lo shno liachar yeush. As far as the Torah is concerned, says Rav Nachman, no distinction is made between a case of pre yeush or after yeush. So, as far as the approach the Gemara takes now, it's, we'll say, scripturally based. The fact that Torah says umechoro means if the thief goes through the motions of a sale, that automatically is mechayev him, that obligates him to pay 4-5. Rav Sheshes Omar Potter, the ganav that sold before yeush, does not pay the multiple payments. Chiyuvei liachar yeushu da'anu maisov. The obligation of the Torah is only after yeush, where we can then say that his action has been effective. The mecher is a mecher. The sale is a sale. Why is the sale a sale? Because you have a transfer of domain that's called shinui rishus plus yeush. When you have those two factors, we can speak about the sale having taken hold. We call ahanu maisof. His action is effective. Rashi points out that Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes hold that yeush alone doesn't acquire. However, when you combine the yeush with a transfer of domain, then you have a full-fledged sale. You have ahanu maisof. His action of sale is an actual sale, a legally recognized sale. Rav Nachman, on the other hand, doesn't have any expectation of ahanu maisof, that the sale has to be a legitimate sale. Therefore, even before yeush, one is chayev. Because the pasuk said umechoro, making no qualification. Rav Sheshes says, and I know we're repeating ourselves, as far as Rav Sheshes is concerned, the sale that the Torah anticipates has to be a sale that's legally recognized, that we would call a hanumaisov. It's a his action takes effect. Where does Rav Sheshes get this idea from? Dumyo detvicha. We continue in the Gemara. Similar to slaughtering, bo'inon. Dahanu myself, we require, bo'inon means we require, the sale to be similar to tvicha. The pasuk speaks in the same breath about both. Utvachal o mecharo. Slaughtering or selling. Just like the slaughtering is obviously an action that has an effect, so too the sale has to be a sale that has, that takes effect. Omar Rav Sheshes, Mino Amino Lo. From where do I know? Now, we have a marking, and that is a under the Mivneh, the structural note on the side, we present this volcano shape, which are Mekoros Litovas Rav Sheshes, sources being brought to the defense of Rav Sheshes. And Rav Sheshes is telling us that only after Yeush is the 4-5, not before Yeush. So from where does Rav Ashi know this? You might be asking, why would Rav Sheshes say, from where do I know this, when he just gave us a source from the pasuk that Mechira is Dumyo de Tevicha? So what I think Rav Sheshes' agenda is here is to point out that his approach is to be accepted as opposed to Rav Nachman's approach, and we need to see a Tanaic source that would, we'll say, settle that difference, the difference between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. Because at up till this point, so we see a scriptural argument between, or an argument based on a pasuk, based on scripture, between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. So it's important for Rav Sheshes to demonstrate through a Tanaic source, which of course we say is later than the scriptural reference per se, that the Tanaic source would be a discerner of the matter in my favor. So with that possible interpretation in mind, we find Rav Sheshes asking Menoam, from where do I know to say that my approach is the correct approach, namely that the 4-5 can be imposed only after Yeush, but a sale before Yeush, the thief would be exempt from the multiple payments? Desanya. We have a Tanaic source, which, by the way, might appear familiar. We saw it on at the end of Samach Zayin with Beis. Omer Bikiva, Mipnei Ma Omra Torah Tovachu Mochar Mishalim Valid Vehei. Why does the Torah impose on a thief that steals and then slaughters or sells the item the 4-5 multiple payments? Mipnei Shenishtaresh Vecheit. The reason for that is because his sinful behavior has taken root. Amos, when, in terms of before or after Yeush, can we say this comment? If the theft and subsequent sale took place before the original owner gave up hope, mi ikon nishtarish, could you describe that as having taken root? The expression mipnei shenishtarish b'chet, Rashi points out, implies that his action, in this case, the sale, ahanu maisov is the expression you see in Rashi, that his sale is effective, let's say legally recognized. If the original owner hasn't given up hope, then all you have here in legal terms is the transfer of domain of the item, which we call shinui rishus. But no one holds that shinui rishus, the mere transfer of domain of a stolen item, establishes new ownership. So, if nishtarish b'chet is taken to mean the the sinful behavior has taken root and it's an effective sale. It's not effective if it's before Yeush. Elolav li'achar Yeushu. Rather, the 4-5 is imposed only on condition that the original owner gave up hope, and then the item's domain was transferred to a purchaser. So there you have the two elements of Yeush and Shinui Rishus. Omar Rava says this, that is not conclusive. The comment made, Mipnation Ishtarish Bechet, doesn't mean like we thought that the sale has to have not taken root in the sense that it has been an effective sale. The source here is speaking about a 4-5 payment made even before the owner has given up hope. And the chiyuv is because the thief, not only did he do one wrong act of stealing it, but he continued. Shana b'chet means he repeated his sinful behavior in having the audacity to sell an item that's not even his. So because he repeated sinful behavior, the Torah imposes on this thief the multiple payments. So that the expression mitnation ishtarish b'chet doesn't mean like we thought that ahanu maisav, even lo ahanu maisav, we still impose the 4-5 payment. So this source, as far as Rava is concerned, doesn't support Rav Sheshes. Toshma, so we try again. Again, this is also a source that we've seen quoted earlier. Utvachoi, umechoroi. Technically speaking, the pasuk says utvacho o mechoro. Mat vicha she'eno chozeres, af mechira she'eno chozeres. Just like tevicha represents finality, it's the slaughtering of the animal, and it doesn't come back. It doesn't come back to life. So to mechira, a sale that's irreversible in the sense that it's a complete, solid sale. Amos. At what point would you describe a sale as being eino chozeres? If it's a sale before the original owner gave up hope, why would it not be reversed? That's not a sale at all. All you have is transfer of domain of a stolen item, and no one says that a person acquires just because there was shinui rishus. Elo li'achar yeush. Rather, the sale took place after the original owner gave up hope. Ushma mino chiyuva li'achar yeyushu. And from here you see that being that the mechira is compared to tevicha, in that it's eino chozer, so it would have to be after yeyush. So the 4-5 payment is only, specifically and only after yeyush, like Rav Sheshes said. Well, then that would be a problem for Rav Nachman, wouldn't it be? Rav Nachman said that the Torah will obligate multiple payments even if the sale were done before Yeush. Tirgum Rav Nachman prat l'shikna loy l'shloshim yoyim. Rav Nachman explains the Tanaic source, which describes a mechira she'eino chozeres. It doesn't mean a final sale. The source is describing a sale before Yeush. Well, then, where is the where do you figure the term eino chozeres? Eino chozeres is used as a term simply to exclude a sale that would be time bound. For example, the thief takes the stolen item, says, "I'm selling it to you, purchaser, for 30 days." That's like a rental. He didn't. In a case like that, he doesn't even purport to be conducting a sale. That's a rental. So that is exempt from the additional double payment which would result in 4-5. There the thief would pay only kefel for the original theft, but not 4-5. However, if the thief conducted what would appear to be a sale, again, I emphasize, appearance only, a full sale, namely not time bound, even though it's not legally a sale because it's before Yeush. However, a sale that's not time bound would obligate the thief to the 4-5 payment. And that, of course, is Rav Nachman's explanation of the source, showing us that the obligation could very well be before Yeush as well. V'af Reb Elozer Sovar, Chiyuvei Li'achar Yeushu, we wrote in between the lines, like Rav Sheshes. Reb Elozer also holds that the multiple payments, the 4-5, for the ganav because of his sale is only if the original owner resigned himself to the loss. It's after he was misyayish. The Amar Reb Elozer. We continue now at the top of Omid Beis. Reb Elozer says that from the Torah we can conclude Teda the Shestam Gineva Yeush Bailim Hu. Your standard situation of theft results in the immediate resignation of return on the part of the owner. In other words, there's immediate yeush. And with the immediate yeush having taken place, the sale that the Torah refers to, the sale of the ganav, results in his having to pay 4-5 because the sale is a full-fledged sale. You have Yeush plus Shinui Rishus. You have the giving up of the owner and the transfer of domain from thief to purchaser. How does Reb Elozer know that Stam Ginevo Yeush Bailim? Sharei Omro Torah. The Torah says, "Tovachu mocher mishalim teshlume arba v'chamisha." If he slaughtered or sold, he pays 4-5. So, why for the sale would he pay 4-5? It must be that stam ginevo yeush bailim. The Gemara asks, "Vidilma lo ayayish?" Maybe the original owner didn't give up hope. So he says, no, that can't be. Elolav mishum damrinon stam ginevo yeush bailim hi. The fact that a theft took place results in the original owner giving up hope. If the original owner didn't give up hope, so why in the world would there be an obligation to pay 4-5 for a sale that's not a sale? So rather, Reb Elozer learns from the fact that the Torah is Mechayev, obligates a 4-5 payment for the sale. It must be that the original owner had given up hope. Ah, maybe here the Gemara asks, V'dilmo afal gav delo ayayish. Maybe the Torah nevertheless obligates payment even if the original owner didn't give up hope, namely even if the original sale is not a legitimate sale. Amri lo salka daitoch. No, you can't think that the Torah is describing a situation where the original owner did not give up hope. Why? The tvicha, dumya de tvicha, because mechira is compared in the Torah to tvicha, to the slaughtering. Ma tvicha danu maisov, just like the tvicha is an effective action, it's an effective slaughtering. The animal is now slaughtered and dead, and you have meat that you can eat. Af mechira dahanu maisov, so too the sale must be a sale that is effective. V'i lifnei yeush mayahanu, if it were before yeush, how could the sale be effective? So Reb Elozer is, by working on the assumption that the sale is effective, there must have had to been yeush. Well, where was the yeush? So Reb Elozer concludes from here that stam ginevo yeush bailim, that your standard case of stealthful theft results in immediate yeush on the part of the original owner. The Gemara asks, still, how can Reb Elozer learn from here the concept of stam ginevo yeush bailim? Granted that the sale has to be effective and That's why the Torah obligates 4 or 5, but Vidilma Deshamine Dayayish. Maybe the Torah is speaking about a case where we heard explicitly the owner expressing his Yeush. He explicitly said, oh, I have no hope of seeing my item again. I give up on it. But to conclude that Stam Geneva, that through in the case of a standard theft, the owner automatically gives up hope. How do you see that from here? Amri, lo salka daitoch. The Gemara answers, you cannot say that the Pasuk is talking about a case where we heard the original owner express his resignation. Why? Dumya tetavicha. Ma, similar, once again, to slaughtering. Ma tevicha li alter, just like tevicha is immediate. As soon as the slaughtering is done, it's done. Af mechira li alter, so too, when the mechira takes place, it takes place with immediacy. In other words, I think that we could say, just like tevicha is effective in obligating him 4 or 5, even if he slaughters immediately after the theft, so too the sale will obligate the thief to 4 or 5, even if the sale is immediately after the theft. Well, if it's immediately after the theft, so there was no time for us to hear the owner expressing his exasperation or his resignation to the theft, and only then do we say that you have real Yeush, but rather Stam Geneva. Your standard stealthful theft results in Yeush Bailam. Rabbi Yochanan, at this point in the Gemara, challenges Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe Elazar mentioned that only because there is Yeush do we say that the sale is considered a sale that thereby obligates the thief. Omar le Rabbi Yochanan, Geneva benefesh tochiach. Geneva benefesh is a reference to kidnapping. The Torah prohibits kidnapping. In fact, if a person steals a fellow Jew and, benefits from him, uses him, and then sells him to someone else, there's a capital penalty. So that for the Torah's mechayev for the theft and subsequent sale of an individual, the sale is enough to obligate, to condemn the thief to death. Is there Yeush over there? So, Geneva benefesh tochiach, let the case, the example of kidnapping with subsequent sale, prove she'ein Yeush bailim, even though there's no Yeush, the victim, the kidnapped individual doesn't give up on himself. V'chayev, and still the Torah says that sale condemns the thief for having committed such a sale. So you see from Geneva Benefesh that in order for the Torah to obligate to punish for a sale, it doesn't have to be a sale that has Yeush in it, that's, we'll say, an effective sale. From the fact that Rabbi Yochanan says thusly to Rebbe Elazar, we gain insight into Rabbi Yochanan's own opinion. Michlal, the Sova Rabbi Yochanan, the Lifnei Yeush Chayev. It turns out then, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that the Chiyuv of Dalet Vehei is when the sale takes place before the original owner gave up hope on getting back his stolen item. So even though you have an owner that anticipates getting his item back, the thief sells it to someone else, that obligates the thief in 4, 5. Li'achar Yeushmai, what about Rabbi Yochanan's opinion regarding a sale after Yeush? There, as far as this question is concerned, there are two sides of analysis. Do we say that Yeush alone that Yeush, that might have happened, acquires on behalf of the thief. And therefore, we would say that the sale of that nature would not mechayev him because he's selling his own thing. Or do we say, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that Yeush does not acquire? And all the more so, after Yeush, there would be a chiyuv, because then you have a case of Yeush plus Shinu Rishus, and that in a case like that, the sale is really a totally effective sale. So, what is Rabbi Yochanan's approach to the ganav selling the item after the original owner was Misyayish? Rabbi Yochanan Omar Chayev. Rabbi Yochanan says the thief is Chayev. So you see, certainly in contrast with Rav, that says Liachar Yeush, the thief would be potter, would not be obligated. Rabbi Yochanan says, whether it be before Yeush or after Yeush, the thief is obligated to the 4 or 5 payment for the sale. By the way, that approach reminds us of Rav Nachman's approach that said Lo shnal lifnei Yeush v'lo shnal liachar Yeush. That's why in our note on Omid Aleph we indicated that Rabbi Yochanan seems to go along with Rav Nachman. For Reish Lakish Omar Potter, Reish Lakish regarding liachar Yeush says no, he would be exempt. Why? So let's go on in the Gemara, and here we go over Rabbi Yochanan as well. Rabbi Yochanan Merchayev. Rabbi Yochanan says that after Yeush, nevertheless, the Ganav is Chayev. He is obligated to pay the 4 or 5. Chiyuve bein lifnei Yeush, bein leachar Yeush. The obligation that the Torah poses upon the thief is whether it's before or after Yeush. Reish Lakish Amar Potter. The thief would be exempt if the sale was after Yeush. Chiyuve lifnei Yeush hu. The Torah's obligation is before Yeush. At that point, the thief has not acquired it, and we wouldn't be able to say that he's selling his own thing. Aval liachar Yeush kona v'shelohu tover v'shelohu mocher. After Yeush, the thief acquires it, and then a sale at that point is, in effect, the sale of his own item. That's very similar to Rav, who said, we saw in our previous year, that Yeush is Kaina. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a long question ahead of us, and we also have a volcano shape, which will appear in alternating directions. On the side, under our Mivneh heading, we indicate this is a Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the give-and-take style. The narrow part facing up represents Kushis Shur Rabbi Yochanan L'Reish Lakish, questions that Rabbi Yochanan poses to Reish Lakish. The inverted volcano represents Tshuvos, responses. Maybe we should note that this give-and-take will continue certainly to the bottom and spill over to the top of the next stop, of Samach Tesom and Aleph. Shortly, we'll see a double underline, which is a marking, one of our series markings, highlighting Shlavei Birur. These are stages in trying to clarify what the situation is in the source that Rabbi Yochanan will cite. So here we start a long question. Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan, the Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan raises a question to show that Yeush is not Kaine. And if we can establish that Yeush is not Kaina, then the idea of a sale after Yeush would not exempt the thief on the grounds of his having sold his own thing. He doesn't acquire it if you say that Yeush is not Kaina. So Rabbi Yochanan asks, we have a Tanaic source, Gonav v'hiktish v'achar kach tovach. A thief stole an item, then sanctified the item, and then slaughtered it. Mishalein tashlumei kefel, veino mishalein tashlumei arba v'chamisha. He pays kefel, the double payment, to the owner. That's for the theft. there is not going to be the additional payments that would add up to four or five, because at that point the animal had been sanctified, and the Torah speaks about payments l're'ehu. The word re'ehu, fellow man, appears in the Torah in the context of the multiple payments, but re'ehu means fellow man, not hegdash, not beis hamigdash, not the realm of that which is sanctified. Amos, at what point vis-a-vis Yeush is this source speaking? Ilemo lifnei Yeush, if it's prior to the original owner giving up on having his animal back, mi kadosh, would sanctity have set in? Ish ki yaktish es beis hakodesh omer Rachmona. The Torah speaks about a person sanctifying his possessions. Ma beso shalo. In the pasuk we saw the word beso appear, which literally in this pasuk would mean a man when he sanctifies his house. Ma beso shalo, just like beso means his house, something he owns. Af kol shalo, so too, for hektish, for sanctity to take hold, it would have to be something you own, something that's yours. Elo pshito liachar yeush. Rather, we have to say that the source is speaking about a case of after Yeush. V'taymo dehiktishu de'eno mishalem tashlumi arba v'chamisha. The reason for the exemption from the 4-5 is because he had sanctified it. That tehi kotovach, the hegdish kotovach, that when the slaughtering took place, the slaughtering was of something that was holy. Now that we're going to use that as a jump off point to make the following inference. Aval loy hegdish, had the thief not sanctified it, tovach, and slaughtered the item the animal that he stole, unsanctified, mishalim tishlim arba v'chamisha, he has to pay the multiple payments. Ve'i saka daitoch yeush kine, if you were to think that yeush alone acquires, yeush meaning the yeush of the original owner, the resignation of the original owner of the item while in the possession of the thief, that the thief acquires, Amai Mishalem, why would he have to pay, as we just inferred? Why would he have to pay the 4-5? Shalahu tover, shalahu mocher. He, in effect, would have been slaughtering or selling his own item. And yet we infer that he does have to pay, so it must be that it's not his own item. And therefore, the Yeush alone does not acquire. What did Reish Lakish say? Reish Lakish said that Yeush alone does acquire, and therefore the 4-5 payment of the Torah is only before the Yeush, not a case of after Yeush. So we have from here a kasha on Reish Lakish. Omar lei, Reish Lakish would answer, Hocha b'mayaskinon, kegon, shigdishuhu bailim biyad ganov. The theft took place, and the source above is speaking prior to Yeush. The source spoke about sanctification. It wasn't the thief that was sanctifying. It was the bailim, the original owner, was sanctifying. And as a result of the original owner sanctifying, so it took hold. It's his item. Okay, it's not in his possession right now, but it's his. He sanctified it, and that's what the source was talking about before Yeush. So there's no insight from this source regarding the case of after Yeush. So we can't use this source to ask a question on Reish Lakish. The Gemara asks, really? It's talking about where the owner sanctified it. Umi kadosh. Would sanctity have taken hold? For Amar Rabbi Yochanan Gozal v'lo nisyashu abaylim. Case of theft and the owner has not given up hope. Shnehem einom yucholim lahakdish. Both the ganav and the original owner cannot be makdish. Ze lefishena shelo. The ganav can't because it's not his. And Vize, the owner, lefishena bershuso, he can't sanctify it either because it's not in his possession. You need, in order to sanctify something, it has to be in your domain, in your possession, not in the possession of a thief. So we have reinstated our question on Reish Lakish. The source that spoke about Gonav Hekdish, to speak about an effective Hekdish, which we know it's effective because there was an exemption from paying 4 or 5 in its slaughter, so we know there's an effective Hekdish. It must have been the Hekdish of the Ganav. And if Yeush had acquired, there would be no, in the inferred 4 or 5 payment in the case of non-Hekdish wouldn't be. It would have been then his slaughtering or his selling of his own item. Amri, we answer, who diomar kitsnuin? Reish Lakish, who explained the source above as referring to the owner sanctifying it, and it being an effective sanctification, even though it wasn't in his own possession, his own domain, that's based on the approach featured in the source dealing with the tsnuin. Tsnuin means the righteous ones. We'll see very shortly that the tsnuin don't require possession in order for, we'll say, sanctification or redemption to be in your possession. The Rashi that appears around a quarter of the way up from the bottom, Sovar lo kitznuin, let's learn the Rashi together. The Amrinon lekamon, the tznuin will appear later on Daf Samach Tes, but Kerem Revai, regarding the fruit of a vineyard in its fourth year of growth. Kerem Revai, vineyards in the fourth year of growth, the grapes are obligated to be brought to Jerusalem and eaten there, similar to Meiser Sheni. And if you don't bring the actual fruits, you have the option of redeeming the fruits onto money and spending the money on food in Yerushalayim. Hatznuin manichin v'chulei. The Rashi explains regarding the tznuin who used to set aside money. Bnei Adam chasidim. They are pious individuals. Shiroitzim l'salik yidei kol adam in avera. Their piety was manifest in their desire to spare people from all kinds of sin. Kishieshlam keremavai, the choshishin, when the tznuim had in their possession of vineyards in their fourth year of development, the choshishin, when they were worried, shema oichlim eno evrei dvachim below pinyon, passersby might be taking their grapes and eating from fourth year grapes without redemption. In other words, eating them on the way outside Yerushalayim, which would be forbidden. So what did the tznuim do? The tznuim, we're going to see very shortly, they set aside money and declared the fruit, and now I emphasize the main point, the fruit that's not in their possession, it's in the hands of passersby. And yet, they were able to redeem the sanctity from the fruit, transfer it onto the money. So they're in effect creating sanctification on the money from fruits that are not in their possession. So the tznuim reflect an approach, a tanaic approach, that in order to function in the realm of sanctity, you don't need to be in possession of. So let's continue in the Gemara. Disnan, hatznuim menichin es hamois, these pious individuals would set aside some cash, the oimrim, and they would declare, any fruits of these the fourth year vineyard that may have already been harvested, collected by passersby, we declare them to be, to their sanctity to be trans transferred to this cache. And then when those passersby eat the fruits, they're not in violation of having eaten that which is sanctified outside of Yerushalayim, because the sanctity was transferred onto the money, it was redeemed. The Gemara asks, if that be the case regarding the Gonav Hikdish, namely the owner is the one that sanctified the stolen animal, and it need not be in his domain, and hence the sanctity took hold. There's another problem, though. Vare chosra keren levailim. But let's take a look at Rashi. Keren is a term meaning the principal value. Rashi says, vare chosra keren levailim, ikishik dishu bailim, if as Reish Lakish wants to set up the source above as the owners from whom the animal was stolen, they sanctified it. Kefel amai mashalim, why is a kefel payment made on the part of the thief? Hare chazor keren liyodom, dakdis shuo kolei chodise. The principal value of the animal is still theirs, so to speak, in the sense that they, the owner, was able to sanctify. You can't sanctify someone else's thing. They were sanctifying their own thing. So that wherever the animal is, it's still in the possession of the owner. The kefel omechayev ela shnimtzeis biad ganav. Kefel is not obligatory unless it's found in the hands of the thief. Shebo edim, who concerning whom witnesses came and testified, kidichtivim himotzei biado. But it's not considered in the hands of the thief. If you're telling me that the owner has control over the item to the extent that he can sanctify it. That being the case, so why is the thief at all obligated to pay kefel? The Gemara answers, kisheomad bedin. Witnesses came testifying about the theft before the owner of the animal, before the owner of the stolen animal had actually sanctified it. So, with the appearance of the witnesses prior to the sanctification, so they're testifying about a simple, straightforward stolen item that obligates the thief to pay kefel. Hechi domi. Well, here we're raising a question, and you'll see we have a long question, but Hechi domi, what are the circumstances here? E di amri, tse tainlo, if the court issued its verdict saying, tse tainlo, my irya hikdish. Why does the source speak about the exemption of 4-5 because there had been sanctification of the animal? Afilu lo hikdish nami lo lechayve. Even without the sanctification, if you have witnesses that testified in court that this guy is a thief, he stole the animal, and the court issued a ruling, call this a public ruling, say tainlo, you have to pay kefel. And then just imagine, the thief would then go and slaughter it. Even without the sanctification element, he would not be obligated to pay 4-5. The Omar Rava, say tainlo, if a court issued a ruling, and then Tovahu Mochar, and then the thief went ahead and slaughtered or sold the stolen animal, Potter, he's exempt from the 4-5. My Taima, why is there exemption at this point? Kevon de Pascula Milsei, since the court issued a formal legal verdict, a legal ruling, and then the thief went ahead and slaughtered or sold the animal. Haveli Gazlan. Gazlan is a reflection of a public type thief. He's not the stealthful ganav that the Torah speaks about that has to pay 4-5, but this is a different category. He is a Gazlan. For Gazlan, you know, Mishalat Dishlomi Arba V'Chamisha. a gazlan doesn't pay 4 or 5. That the Torah doesn't obligate him to those multiple payments. Chayov ato litein lo. If all the court said was chayov ato litein lo, that expression is different than tse tein lo. Chayov ato litein lo is an expression that might be uttered, but it's prior to the final verdict. If that's the level of we'll say legal development that had been reached, then tavachumacha mishalim tishumei arba v'chamisha. If after the court had simply said chayav atol itaino, literally you are obligated to pay him as opposed to go and pay him, then the thief retains his original identity as a ganav, a stealthful thief. And he has to pay the 4 or 5 maitaimo. Kevan delo paskua lemilsa, since the final ruling hasn't been stated, akati ganavu, he still retains the ganav identity. So we want to know what are the... You mentioned that the reason for the kefel in the original source that Reish Lakish had you understand involved a case of sanctification is because the court had ruled prior to the sanctification. And that being the case, the court found him guilty as a ganav. And therefore the question of Chosru Keren Labailim is irrelevant because we're talking about a stage before the sanctification. So if the court had said, say, Tainlo, then the source would not have had to speak about an exemption of 4 or 5 only because of Hikdish. He would be exempt because he reached the status of a gazlan. So the Gemara answers, Lo Tzricha, the source needs to teach about Hikdish as the basis of exemption, the Amrile, because the court had merely said Chayov Atol Litein Lo. With that in mind, then, as we mentioned before, his Ganav status is retained. The Kefel is understood. If there had been no sanctification, the slaughtering would have resulted in 4 or 5. The source speaks about exemption from 4 or 5 because of the sanctification, but it's only because of the sanctification do you have that exemption. Bear in mind that Reish Lakish had set up the source as being before Yeush. Only then would there have been obligation, because after Yeush, as Reish Lakish would have you understand, without the sanctification element, and had there in fact been Yeush, then the ganav would have acquired it, and we would say then shalohu toveach, shalohu mocher. Hence, just to review Reish Lakish's opinion, the obligation of 4 or 5 is only in a case where the thief stole and sold it prior to Yeush, just like Rav had said some time ago. But after Yeush, Reish Lakish maintained his position of the thief would not be obligated to the multiple 4 or 5 payment. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.